All right, guys, so there's heavy delays continue on the Southwest Freeway this morning. Northbound at South Rise, an accident over to the right shoulder. And it's really slowing you down from the Beltway. 45 southbound at the North Loop, an accident there, blocking a left and a center lane. And the South Sump Houston Towway, westbound at Hughes, that accident has cleared. High of 69 today, 57 degrees right now from the TexanRoofing.com weather desk. I'm Elie Escobar, Sports Radio 610.
Hey, Elie.
Yeah.
Are you still going to our mutual exercise place?
I have not gone, no.
Why not? The holidays, all the stress and
preparations. Yeah, I don't have the time. Yeah. And it's like, I just want to like eat as much as I can so I can like gain all that weight and then go back.
That's a good way, because then that's progress in January.
Right?
You're like, oh, look at all this weight I'm losing.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been back either ever since one of our listeners' wives mocked me for using the bike instead of this treadmill. I'm not actually that embarrassed, but I just want that woman to feel bad that she shamed me. She's like no different. She's no different than a dude making fun of some guy's bench press.
How dare she? Yeah.
I was bullied by this lady, and I'm going to die earlier because I'm not getting exercise because of it.
I've been made fun of for using the elliptical instead of the treadmill as well. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. People are on this big
bet
now.
This
is the way things cycle through in fitness. It's like right now the treadmills are big, and if you're not using treadmills, what are you even doing? And then over the course of the next 5 to 10 years, through multiple Achilles tendon injuries and everything, people are like, well, you know, it's really stupid to use the treadmill. It's just the way, like, I've been going to gyms long enough that I see the cycles. Just like there's a barefoot running trend once every 20 years, and then people have a bunch of stress fractures, and like, oh, you know what? Maybe those stupid-looking slipper shoes aren't actually all that good an idea. like clockwork. There will be another barefoot running trend 15 years from now. You can set your watch by it. Thanks, Elie.
Yeah.
Good job.
A sports genius, a former NFL player, and a millennial bro. This is Mad Radio with Mike Meltzer, Seth Payne, and Paul Gallant.
Matt Rhule took over a scandal-ridden program at Baylor, won one game last season, won six this season, and if Baylor can defeat Vanderbilt in the Texas Bowl, then Baylor will have a winning record. Matt, you're on with Sean Pendergast, Mike Meltzer, Paul Gallant, and thank you for joining.
This is Mad Radio.
Sean wanted to come in and be part of the Matt Rhule since he doesn't have him in the afternoon. Sorry about that, Seth.
That's all right.
I didn't even realize I did that.
I know where I stand in your brain. That's fine.
That was the moment of the morning so far.
Two out of three is not bad.
Well, yeah, you're a Hall of Famer.
We got an S and a P. That's fine.
There's an S, exactly.
At the beginning, a P at the last name.
When John said that, I was wondering who was going to be the Beyond Man out.
I wish you would have said something.
Actually, I was expecting John to add Sean to the mix, that he would have said Sean and Seth and Paul and Mike and Chris Jones.
I'm glad Matt didn't go, well, Seth. I mean, well, Sean.
I really didn't mind it, because I'm impressed with the way you bring in and say goodbye to guests and sound like it's your show.
There's worse guys to be mistaken for than Sean.
It's true.
This is a good point.
I did.
I'm here with Mike Meltzer, Paul Gallant, and Carl Sandusky.
Jerry Sandusky.
That's right. Carl Sandusky.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Good question.
I did think, because of my perhaps own negative self-image, that I was going to be the odd man out, because I still cannot get over, around Halloween, Sarah Pepper introducing me as you, Mike Meltzer.
Oh God.
Because Sarah was like, okay, Seth, Paul, you got this all ready to go, where we were emceeing like the
Halloween party.
The Halloween costume party. And she said, okay, and now without further ado, it's Seth Payne and Mike Meltzer. And when that happened, I was just like, I'm not doing a damn thing. I'm not doing a damn thing. Seth, it's all you.
That's all you, bro. We did a really good job doing that. Right up until I made a joke about a spinner and then I didn't, it was received poorly. I was like, I got this audience. I got them in the palm of my hand.
Spinner jokes are in.
And then somebody gave one of those little spinners as a gift, and I made a spinner joke, and it fell flat. I'm like, oh, crap.
Tomorrow,
HR,
when I'm on with the triple threat, I'm going to say I'm with A. Rich, A. Seth.
Yes, I like it. Yes, that's what we need. That's a good way to tie a bow onto this thing. My dad's on the show coming up in about 10 minutes to talk about the moon landing. So John, ask McClane anything. I'll start off with my own question. John, my best friend's wife, literally, my best friend's wife wants me to start messaging a nurse that she works alongside. Now, they live in Pennsylvania. What do you think about this?
I think, unless you, let's see.
Wait, what? The nurse lives in Pennsylvania?
Yeah. She lives in Pennsylvania, and long distance relationships are difficult unless you're going to have like FaceTime sex or Skype sex or something like that.
One of my good friends here, David,
Paul does.
He was introduced to his now wife by his sister. They were friends. And David and this girl, they started talking over, you know, over the internet. All of a sudden, they got together. They're married, and now they live in London.
Okay, well, so I imagine
that's rare.
That's gonna happen 100%.
I'm just asking the question, man.
Okay,
what about for me?
Do you find the nurse in Pennsylvania to be attractive?
I think she is attractive, actually.
Okay, so you have that going, but what else is there?
I don't know.
Do you have anything in common? Have you even talked with her? Period.
Nope. Sent her a message.
I had a friend whose girlfriend, he dated a flight attendant for a while, so she lived in another city, but it was awesome. Like, he loved it. It was perfect. Like, and it was, like, she'd come in, they'd hang out for 48 hours, and then he'd see her again the next week, and it was very, very passionate between these
perfect
two.
Perfect relationship. Ultimately,
but she might have been having, I suspect she may have been having relations with, like, she might have had, like, four or five other relationships going on. This guy didn't care. He wasn't deeply in love with her or anything, and ultimately they went their separate ways. John, what's your best New York story?
1980, Kenny Stabler was the quarterback. They played the Jets at Shea Stadium. Bum Phillips put the team in New Jersey because he didn't want the players partying in Manhattan. And Kenny Stabler went out with Richard Todd, former Alabama quarterback, who was on injured reserve. And they told everybody, you better be back. They had Greg Bingham go with them, told Banks, said, make sure you get Snake back here by curfew. Snake wouldn't do it next morning. Snake showed up, I believe it was right before the team meal, and he was in bad shape. And he was sick in the first half, and he threw a bunch of interceptions, might have been five. And then at halftime, you could hear him throwing up in the bathroom, and he comes out, and he's wiping his mouth, says, I'm good to go. And I believe he threw five touchdown passes in the second half. Then they lost on a Pat Leahy overtime field goal. And players used to do that a lot, drink a lot and be hungover. I don't see that at all today. Yeah. But I've never seen such a turnaround by a player at halftime than Kenny Stabler made in New York. And the best thing about that game, there was a fight right under the press box during the game. It was these two women just going at it. And all these fans backed away to let them fight. This is while the game's going on. And so while these women were fighting, guys were going in, yanking their pants down while they were fighting.
What?
And so everybody's trying to watch the
That's
fight
bizarre.
Instead of a game that went to
little
overtime.
Rapey. That is very bizarre.
I'll never forget that fight.
Yeah,
I
wouldn't either.
That ain't happening these days, and that's a good thing.
Who was pulling the pants down?
The guys, the two women were just pounding each other, yeah. And the guys were running in, trying to yank their pants down.
Have you seen that gif of the two hefty, like, sturdy ladies? They look like they're, like, discus throwers. Maybe a few years past their prime, beating the crap out of those two guys in a fast food place.
No.
Have you not seen this video? I need context on it. Every now and then when an offensive lineman makes a good play, they'll show this. It's two women. Like I said, like, they look like they were discus throwers in college that then, like, gained a bunch of weight afterwards. Like, they're strong as hell. And this woman is, like, tossing a guy around. And everybody else in the fast food restaurant is kind of laughing but trying not to laugh too hard because they're scared of this woman. But I have no context around it. Somebody, please, 713-572-4610, tell me how I can learn more about these women.
I bet he called her a man.
No. She didn't. She was, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think that would have... There was more to it than that.
We don't know what started it.
Yeah.
John, did you watch the Tyson versus Buster Douglas 30 for 30? What were your initial thoughts when Tyson lost?
First of all, I was shocked like everybody else in the world was because it was just, he was an overwhelming favorite and Buster Douglas came out of nowhere. I taped the 30 for 30 last night. Can't wait to see it because it was a monumental, upset in the history of sports.
You know who, doesn't like Buster? John Cassio, the old producer for the afternoon show.
Oh, really?
He said he put it on Twitter last night. He said, I guess he waited in line like 4 hours when he was a kid for Buster Douglas's autograph. And Buster Douglas claimed he couldn't because his hand was hurting. And then he did like an hour on the heavy bag after that. So he hates Buster Douglas. Seriously, who the hell is Buster Douglas to be turning down autographs back in the day.
Who the hell wait 4 hours to get his autograph?
That's a good point. John Cassio needs to be mad at his dad more than anybody.
I was wondering that.
I don't blame anyone that has that irrational disdain for a player that refused an autograph. I once waited a very long time to get an autograph from Warwick Dunn when I was at Tampa Bay Buccaneers training camp, and I want to say 2000, 2001 or something like that. And I waited for a really long time, and a bunch of little bastards that were like a couple years younger than me. Like, I'm 12. And there were like two kids that snuck in front of me that were like 8 or 9 that got autographs. And I was saying very politely, Mr. Dunn, could I please get your autograph? It's not like I had a magazine. All I was trying to get was his autograph. And he said no. Now, I was very...
Yes, he said no?
He said no, and he shook his head. And I have no idea what his explanation was, but I sort of got over it, though I've never really been the biggest fan of Warwick Dunn, even though he does a lot of awesome things in the community afterwards. But my uncle hates him. Like, absolutely,
just because of that?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely hates him. He thinks it was like the most disrespectful thing that anyone's ever done.
Huh.
Makes me very happy. I love my uncle.
You know, it's hard, John, because a lot of times... All the fans are in training camp are sitting there waiting for autographs, but a lot of times the players have meetings to get to. And you're like, you've got to get in and get your treatment and get into a meeting or you're going to get fined $750. And like, sometimes you simply can't sign autographs. I wish they would fix that. Maybe they do with the text.
He should have said, I'm sorry, I can't, I got to get to a meeting instead of no.
I would have been fine if he didn't even acknowledge me.
You can only get so many words out of that tiny little mouth of his. You can't speak that quickly.
He's a small mouth.
Anti-Julia
Roberts.
It's even different. Like, Ricky Williams has a small mouth for the size of his head, but Warwick Dunn is like doubly so.